Welcome to the PIWC Dansiman Sunday Sermon Podcast, where we find you inspiring messages that uplift your spirit and deepen your faith. Each week, we share powerful sermons delivered by anointed speakers to help you grow in your walk with Christ and live a life that honors God. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by today's word. Stay tuned and be blessed.
To us to speak his words to his children. And we also want to thank our resident minister. Someone was asking, why do you thank the resident minister? Because this pulpit is a pulpit of the pastor. And we stand here at his pleasure. And so when he gives us the opportunity, we appreciate it. And whoever stands here represents God and represents the resident minister. And that is why you don't take the people who stand here for granted. Hallelujah. Someone has said that the pulpit means pull from the pit. And so when we come to God's presence, it is from the pulpit that he administers his grace upon us. Hallelujah. And we know that this morning, God is here to bless us. Amen. The whole week, by the direction of the resident minister, we have been looking at revitalizing worship and fellowship in the local church. The various speakers have touched on the many aspects of this important topic. This morning, I want us to look at a few concepts of worship. I'll touch on congregational worship, and maybe time may not permit me to look at the temple of worship and the priestly sacrifice, but we trust God to be able to help us to glean what he wants us to hear this morning. Hallelujah. The concepts of worship. The first thing I want to say is that worship is not merely an event, a performance, or a ceremony, but it is a lifestyle. Hallelujah. In our liturgy, when we come to church, we have our programs drawn up, and part of our program of activities when we meet is to have a call to worship. In fact, in the Orthodox churches, it is such that what happens in one Orthodox church is the same that happens across the globe. Growing up, I had an auntie who belonged to the Presbyterian Church. And one day, she couldn't go to church. But their church program was so structured that sitting at home, she would look at her time and say that, oh, by this time, they are singing this hymn. That is how structured the Orthodox program is. But in a Pentecostal service, oh, hallelujah, anything can happen at any time. And that is why when you come, you open yourself up to receive an encounter with the Lord. Hallelujah. God in Exodus chapter 17, verse 16, told Moses to tell Pharaoh. It says, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. That is my interest. And Pharaoh, who is a representation and a type of Satan, tried to give a definition to worship to mean that it is a ceremony, it is an event, it is a celebration, an activity, a performance. And so even though initially he did not want the Israelites to go, he reasoned that so long as it is just an event, the people would go, have their worship, and return to me. And so if that is the case, Moses, you and the men can go. Worship your children, your wives, your animals, and your possessions will remain. When you are done with the event, you would come back. There was this back and forth. Moses said, not only the men. After he experienced some aspects of God's plan and he went into some distress, he called Moses and told him that now the men, the women, and the children can go. But your livestock, your animals, your possessions will remain, because worship is just an event. When you are done, you would come back. Beloved, when we have this notion of worship being just a ceremony, a celebration, or an event, that is when a lady who is not married to a man can decide to go and spend the weekend with the man. And while she is going, she will be minded to pick her church dress. On Sunday morning, the gentleman will come and drop her, because she is coming to celebrate worship. We will come to church, have a powerful service. She will receive the touch of God, weep during the course of the service, possibly fall under the anointing, and when the service is over, she will pick the phone and call the gentleman. Yapomo. come and pick me. Yekotwaso. Because the event has been observed. I attended to a young man recently, a middle-aged man, a Church of Pentecost member. He admitted to me that he drinks. And he narrated this story to me, that they attended a church funeral in the central region. And Sam Dickens joined him in his car. And being someone who drinks, he had bottles of Guinness and whiskey and what have you in his car. And when they got to the funeral grounds, I mean, it was a church funeral, so the pastor, the elders, and other people had also traveled. He invited the pastor to come to his car to behold a sight. The deacons who had joined him in his car, whilst on the journey, discovered the bottles of Guinness and beer in the car. And they had drunk themselves to stupor. So he called the pastor. And surprisingly, when I told him that, oh, I'm a church elder, you know what he told me? He said, these deacons would have gone to church the following Sunday, and they would do all the things that are required of them on Sunday. Because worship is just an event. You see, the first church was in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were the human members of the church. The triune God, together with the innumerable company of angels, were the other members. And the Bible tells us that God would occasionally visit man in the garden. But you see, God was not only interested in what Adam and wife did whilst he was physically present with them, but even whilst God was not physically present in the garden, he still took interest in what the people did in their lives. And so, Moses gave the true definition of worship to Pharaoh. In Exodus chapter 10, 24 to 25. Exodus 10, 24 to 25. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go, worship the Lord. Even the women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." 25. But Moses said, "You must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock too must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God, and until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord." It is an all or none. In the wilderness, occasionally, God would meet with them. He would ask Moses to call a holy convocation. But I want to say that all the time the people spent in the wilderness was a period of worship. It was not just the moments when God met with them. Those were just few and far between. But God was careful to legislate how the people lived their daily lives, how they married, their work ethics, their relationships with their neighbors, how they related to even their animals and the environment. God's interest is not just in what happens here in 2.5 hours, but beyond here, the lives we live counts as part of our worship. Hallelujah. And so we should not fall into the deception of Pharaoh, that you can go have your events, do all that. I don't have a problem. So long as you return. When Israel left Egypt, God made them pass through the Red Sea. It was a moment of separation between them and Egypt, so that they would not return, but for the period in the desert, every day of their lives, what they did in their private and public life counted as part of their worship. And God was interested in every detail of their lives, every minute. May we come to that place where we will not be only a people who worship when we come here, but with everything we do, we will see that every moment and all our days, they are moments of worship to the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship is not just a mere celebration, an event, or a performance, but it is a lifestyle. We worship God daily. We worship God every moment we live. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to look at congregational worship. Let's read something from Deuteronomy chapter 33, reading from verse 2 to 5. Okay, we can start from 1. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, pronounced on the Israelites before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and dawned over them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. He came with myriads of holy ones from the south, from his mountain slopes. Surely it is you who love the people. All the holy ones are in your hand. At your feet they all bow down, and from you receive instruction. The law that Moses gave us, the possession of the assembly of Jacob. He was king over Jeshurun when the leaders of the people assembled, along with the tribes of Israel." I have mentioned that on the desert, occasionally God will ask Moses to call the whole assembly together for a holy convocation. And Moses was describing what happened in those assemblies when they gathered. He says that God dawned on them. Hallelujah. And he did not come alone, but he came with a myriad of holy ones. So, in the holy assembly, when we gather, we may have a finite number of human beings. But also in that assembly, oh, hallelujah, is God Almighty who is dawning on his people. And he doesn't come into the assembly alone. He comes with a host of holy company of angels. And so as we are seated here this morning, if God should open your eyes, there are angels all around us. Oh, hallelujah. When we gather, he dawns on us. And he says, we bow before him and we receive instructions from him. Now, this is what happened in the days of Moses. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that in those holy gatherings, the sight was so fearful. There were thunderings, and there were fires, and there were voices of God so loud that the people were so afraid. Yesterday, when we went for the area presbytery meeting, the apostle was telling us the people were so afraid of the voice of God that they knew that God's voice could kill them. And so they told Moses that we don't want to die. As for you, you can go and meet with God. And whatever he tells you, come and tell us. As for Moses, when he dies, no problem. But he told us that because of Moses' leadership capacity, God had given him the grace to be able to hear and to give to the church. Hallelujah. But when we read Hebrews chapter 12, IT, give me somewhere from verse 20. Let's go to the next verse. The next verse. He says, so he had given the description of God dawning on the holy convocation with all the angels and the host that he comes with. But in our dispensation, the people were so afraid that they told Moses, we don't want to come near again. But he says that in our time, oh hallelujah, we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You know why? When we come to church and the children are running around, sometimes some people are disturbed, but I don't get worried because I know that as they are running around, oh, they are interfacing with angels. When Isaiah saw God in the temple, he said that the train of his garments had filled the whole temple. So just imagine that you are coming to church and you are walking on, oh, hallelujah. Sedim on BC, Wabetria, on one a bit to that is what happens when we meet. We congregate with the visible and the invisible church.
And so in the Holy Assembly, anything can happen. That's why Moses, David said in Psalm 122 verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Anything can happen because God is in our midst. The angels are here. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the one whose blood speaks a better word than that of Abel, when we gather. So when Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. That is what we enjoy. So this meeting is not like any party meeting. When you call for the association of Anglons, when they meet, yes, you see human beings. Somebody will be addressing them. But this, our gathering, is different from that. The difference is that, apart from the human beings you see, oh, hallelujah, God is here with His holiness. And so when you absent yourself, this is what you miss. In Psalm 122, verse 5, when David was describing his joy of going into the presence of the Lord, one thing he said, that in such meetings, there are thrones of judgment. Oh, hallelujah. Into Yeshia, Nyankupon Osinkunya, and he begins to legislate on your matter. Oh, this morning, may heaven legislate on your case. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. He says that, and whilst I beheld, there were thrones set in place, and the Ancient of Days also took his seat. Oh, hallelujah. Into your bar, Eradit Sinegwem. He is here as a judge to adjudicate in your matter. Whatever case you have brought, oh, may God pass judgment. Because that is what happens when we meet in the presence of the Lord. Now, for the sake of time, let me look at three dangers when we come for such congregational worship. The first danger is that it is possible to come for such meetings as a facilitator of worship without you yourself being a worshiper. You see, when Jesus went into the temple and he started turning the tables and driving out the people who were doing commerce, what they were doing was indeed relevant. You know, let's take for example, when Jesus was born, they had to travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem. At least we know that it is longer than a day's journey. Because the day they left Jesus behind, they traveled for one day. They hadn't gotten to Nazareth before they returned. When you are coming for such meetings, if a child has been born, you need to come with a pigeon or a dove, together with all your luggage. If someone is coming to give a sin offering, you need to come with a lamb or a goat. Now, look at all the vagaries of having to travel with all these things. And so what the people were doing around the temple, in fact, the animal also had to meet some specification. So imagine that you carry an oxen, travel for 3 days, only to arrive and the high priest will tell you, Abua, we're unqualified. So what they were doing around the temple, yes, they had the animals required in the worship. And so people could come, buy from there, go and sacrifice. But they themselves, they had come to the temple facilitating worship. But they themselves were not worshipers. And so it is possible for me to come here as a facilitator of worship, come and preach to you when me, myself, I'm not a worshiper. You can come and sing powerfully, facilitate, but you yourself will not be a worshiper. May God have mercy on us. There is the potential to come here as a statistic. You come to check the numbers, but your heart and your passion is somewhere else. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14. Ezekiel 8, 14. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the house of the Lord, and I saw women sitting there, mourning for the god Tammuz. Tammuz was a god of fertility. And these were women who had come physically present in the temple. But what god did they have a passion for? They were weeping for another god. But if you checked the statistic for that day, if you counted the attendants, they were present. But their passion was somewhere else. May God have mercy on us. You can behave like Naaman when it comes to congregational worship. Elisha told Naaman, go and dip in River Jordan 7 times. And he said, I have traveled all the way from Syria. I expected the man of God to come from his room, come and touch my leprosy. But he didn't even come out. He sent his servants. He says, don't I have better rivers where I come from? So it is possible. You choose and pick. You decide for God how he should operate. So when we come for service, you decide which part of the service is important. Chairman gave a testimony once in a service where they had had a powerful service. But there was a nurse who was hard of hearing in one ear. And around the closing prayer time, the service was almost over. And you know those days, Pentecost, when they have finished sermon and taken the prayer time, I feel an announcement in Chinchirinchi. So you can sit in church 30 minutes, announcement. Here we are. And say, be frek. And they will start with the song from the back. Obedua, pray the Lord. So after the main service, it can take almost 1 hour. But it was during the closing prayer that the lady received her miracle. When we come to church, Bible study.
A Bible study there is for Nkwala.
Children's Week.
Oh, Nkwala ne idiomagro.
But maybe when you come and they are singing, there is a bone standing. As you are jumping, an angel will touch that your arthritis. But you have become like Naaman. You know which part of the service is important. So, somebody had a vision. During offertory time, there was an angel standing by the offertory bowl. When you pass, he also had a package. He was not looking at the amount of money you'd. The mere fact that yaya announcement, just the obedience of coming to pass. So you are so big. Ube first Sunday school near Kwala now de or fetri na fakotum. Tanaho. You finish the church and you will not encounter God. Beloved, when we come, it is a holy convocation. God is in this meeting. And every part of our meeting is important. From opening prayer to benediction. There's a prayer we pray in Pentecost. There are some prayers we came to meet. But I couldn't say, that prayer I don't pray. You see, in the olden days, they walked through snake-laden paths and crocodile-infested rivers to come to church. So if someone comes and says, let's pray for Oma and Namu Kwansoba, it's understandable. But these days, look, there's no lion on the road. So I won't come and bless you. I will come to church early and come and pray for you. I won't pray that prayer. Another one is, we are inviting Eradi Emet Nanegum. So imagine God chairing the meeting. And then you pick your bag and walk out. Because according to you, the service is boring. My time is up. But these are a few concepts of worship. And we pray that God himself will give us revelation. So that when we come to church, look, opening prayer, miracles will be happening. As we do Bible studies, tumors will be disappearing. Because angels are moving around us. And touching. Benediction. Na obienyane miracle. That is what we enjoy, the fellowship we have when we come together. Don't be left out of this community. And let us come with this understanding that we have come to the God of all flesh. We have come to the holy assembly of angels. And God is able to touch you if only you open up to him. God bless us.
Shall we humbly bow our heads? Yes, bow, reflect on what you've heard.
Thank you for listening to the PIWC Dancement Sunday Sermon podcast. We hope today's message has blessed and inspired you. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok for more uplifting sermons and updates. Until next time,
continue to grow in faith and live out God's purpose for your life. Stay blessed.